Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. Sometimes health professionals plot statistics on maps. They do this to find out if there are geographic patterns to health. And indeed, there sometimes are. Maps that show lifespan, drug overdoses, heart disease, other illnesses, show clear concentrations in our part of the country. Today, health in Appalachia as compared to the rest of the U.S. And as is customary, we're joined by Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I mentioned in the introduction there that sometimes these maps show correlations or concentrations of certain characteristics in certain areas. Sometimes those can be good concentrations, but in Appalachia, often they're of the negative sort.
True. People in Appalachia live shorter lives, and they have higher rates of things like cancer, diabetes mellitus, heart disease, and other chronic conditions. Also, we see a higher incidence of injuries and poisonings, but the thing about poisonings is it includes overdoses, opioid overdoses, and then suicides. For many measures, health is poorer in Tennessee portion of Appalachia than Appalachia as a whole. So we have this tiering of the overall national average, what's going on in Appalachia, and then we could look at the Tennessee portions of Appalachia, which are primarily in the east.
That's right.
So that's what we need to talk about today is what's going on.
So what does this mean? We've established then that there are certain correlations in these concentrated areas where we see incidents higher than the national average. What does that mean to people in Appalachia?
Well, I think when we take it down to a personal level, there's maybe three ways we could look at it today, Brandon. One is that when we look at Appalachia compared to the U.S., and we look at a measure that's become a good overall indicator called years of productive life lost, that Appalachia has 28% more years of productive life lost than the rest of the country. And it's even worse when we look at Tennessee portions of Appalachia, where we're 39% worse than the national average. Folks, because of illness and premature deaths, are not able to work and contribute to the overall economy and participate in activities of daily living and with their family and enjoy the things that we like to do in our free time. Another measure is self-reported unhealthy days. This is another measure that's being used to say, what is the impact at the personal level? And when we look at physically unhealthy days, Appalachia has a rate of 14% more than the country as a whole, but Tennessee, 31% more. Mm. So our people are reporting that they don't have a good day from a physical health standpoint, 31% more than people in the U.S. as a whole. When we look at mental health, we look at mentally unhealthy days, Appalachia 14% more than the overall country, 28% more in Tennessee. So this is a very major personal burden that impacts the people who live in this part of the country that we love called Appalachia. I always say that another way to measure the health of a population is to look at infant mortality. I think we all have the expectations that babies are born and they live past their first year and they live a lot longer than that. In Appalachia as a whole, infants die 16% more often than the rest of the country, 13% in Tennessee. So we're not quite as bad, but in no way should we become complacent about that number. Because also, Brandon, the national number's not great. Mm-hmm. We don't compare well against other countries and other much less developed and economically vital countries. So infant mortality lets us look at that also.
It's not just that these concentrations show up on maps and allows, you know, epidemiologists and doctors and people who study public health to kind of put a pin in and say, this may be a problem area. It's that those negative differences, those disparities that we have talked about in previous episodes, are actually growing wider. They're getting a little bit deeper.
That's correct, and that's very concerning that when we look at life expectancy, when we looked at a report that looked at several years, the report came out in the 1990s, there was very little difference between the country as a whole and Appalachia. However, the most recent report which covers the time period of 2009 to 2015, we see there's a gap now of 2.4 years. When we look at life expectancy, that gap in that short a period of time is major. We also look at infant mortality. You know, we should be getting a whole lot better, but Appalachia now is lagging behind 16% the rest of the country, where we started out about the same. So you're absolutely right. The widening gap is even more alarming than just the absolute numbers.
And there are disparities within the disparities, if we start taking a look at the demography or the people numbers in a little more detail.
Right. Appalachia is not a monolith. We know that there's differences among the states that comprise the region called Appalachia. But we also know that populations within Appalachia, there's a lot of diversity, and there's a lot of disparities related to that diversity. And I can give you a couple illustrations. Black men from Appalachia, the region as a whole, that are in higher poverty areas have a 13-year deficit in their life expectancy when they're compared to white women in lower poverty areas. That's an astounding difference. And we see that in other measures where either based on gender, based on ethnicity, or level of poverty, that there's even wider gaps within the population than the population as a whole. We also know, we've talked before, Brandon, about what a driver poverty is of poor health. We know that in Appalachia, the association between poverty and life expectancy, pretty gross measure of health, life expectancy, it's stronger in Appalachia than any other region in the country. So obviously, it plays a very major factor.
There's also a divide in whether you live in a city in Appalachia, such as Knoxville or Roanoke or the Tri-Cities, versus a rural area in Appalachia.
Right. I think this is one of the areas where sometimes it's hard to make great distinctions because so much of Appalachia is rural, and we already know nationwide about the disparities related to rural health and health care. People that live in rural areas tend to be older, and that's because of out-migration of younger people because of lack of economic and other opportunities. We also know that rural residents suffer from significant health disparities, so they have shorter life expectancies, higher rates of chronic disease, mirroring what we see in Appalachia as a whole. But we also have higher rates of preventable hospitalizations, people going to the hospitals on things that could have been avoided. And poverty is much more prevalent in rural areas. So the contrast between rural and urban populations is major.
There are also what could be described as lifestyle factors that contribute to poor health in concentrations here in Appalachia.
Yes, most what we call modern diseases, chronic diseases, are associated to a strong degree, not entirely, with lifestyle. So what is lifestyle? Lifestyle are the choices that you make around your nutrition, your diet, how much sleep you get, how you use or abuse substances such as alcohol and tobacco, the level of activity that you get. So the course of chronic diseases, once you're diagnosed with diabetes or hypertension, how well you fare has a lot to do with the adjustments that perhaps you make to manage your disease. But we find that that's very much a challenge in Appalachia because the chronic diseases and the behaviors that led to those are pretty well normalized in the Appalachian region as part of the culture. Everyone's doing it. Everyone has this kind of unhealthy lifestyle. And then we also know that in Appalachia, because of the high prevalence of poverty, that these issues are compounded by economic issues because the other thing we've talked about before, Brandon, the choices that you make are based on the choices that you have. So if I said to you, Brandon, if you came to me for a primary care visit, you need to be eating more fresh fruits and vegetables. You have access to them, and you have the financial means to get them. That's not true about people having access to those foods and having the means. Choices matter a lot, but choices aren't the same for all of us, and there's a great disparity for people living in rural areas.
There are also some major healthcare system and infrastructure issues in Appalachia which can contribute to what we're talking about today? What role then does, say, the medical community or access to care play in all of this?
Well, basically, Brandon, Appalachia is in dire need of good health care, particularly primary care, mental health care, specialty physicians, and other providers, and dentists. And we're beginning to understand and appreciate how important dental health is to your overall health. Let's paint the picture for Tennessee. We only have about 25% of Tennessee's 95 counties that are deemed to have adequate access to a primary care provider based on the population. Only 25%. Interestingly, there are three counties in Tennessee that have no primary care providers within their boundaries. So we have a problem in Tennessee related to primary care access. The healthcare systems as a whole in Appalachia, again, very strong rural overlay, under-resourced, understaffed. And we've talked a lot before, Brandon, about the closure of rural hospitals.
Right.
And so that's another problem. And we also know that when a rural hospital closes, it has a major economic impact. And there's that relationship between economics and health, as we've been talking about.
Well, we delivered the bad news, all right? We talked about a lot of that, the statistics that may have people right now, you know, thinking, okay, you've gotten me down this morning or this afternoon. Mm. What can be done about it, though? What might be the positive flip side of this particular coin?
What can be done? There's a lot that can be done, but there are no easy fixes. I think that's the nature of the beast and probably the root cause issue here. We need socioeconomic change to improve health. That means better educational opportunities, improved access to care, and infrastructure improvements. I'm encouraged living here in Tennessee by our push around education. You know, we have the HOPE scholarships, tuition-free community college, the Drive to 55. That will have an impact on health status in our state, but that's a long horizon. Healthcare coverage really matters. There are opportunities, if there were political will, to assure that more Tennesseans have healthcare coverage. Medicaid expansion is one of these, but there are other options. I think there's better opportunities to support access to primary care providers. Tennessee is one of the most restrictive states when it comes to the regulation of nurse practitioners who are used much more robustly in other states. We could modernize unnecessary and antiquated regulations to support nurse practitioners, most who are trained in primary care, most who practice in primary care in our state have a higher rate of going to rural areas than other healthcare providers. So as we think about these hard problems to deal with, we need to think that the solutions will actually have effects across multiple sectors. Well, what's the catch? All these actions take political will and an understanding that returns on investment are not quick. The things I have suggested, they should not be partisan issues. They are people issues.
Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing on Health Connections. Dr. Myers, as always, a pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine, Brandon. Thank you.